businesses and brands, entrepreneurial journeys, they start so early in life. Maybe it's with a baseball bat on a little league field or a young girl in a dance class. They were speaking, JC and Danny, founders of Jane Doe. It's not just a studio or fitness center. They're creating a movement, they're creating a community, and I promise you, an amazing conversation.
There's no substitution for hard work. There is so much power in a group of women coming together with a unified mission. Jane is every woman. She is in all of us.
So JC, Danny, I'm excited. I mean, we go through a process where we meet with so many entrepreneurs. They're growing their business, franchising. But you guys have like an amazing story, an amazing movement. And so I'm excited to dive in today into not only your franchise journey, but so many other things in terms of what Jane Doe is and the mission you ladies are on.
Well, thanks
We're
for having
me. Excited to be here. Yeah.
Really excited to be here. Show you how we Jane Doe this.
Well, you know, it's funny. As we went through the whole process, as you guys approached franchising, it was very methodical. It was super positive. And then along the way, I don't know, I'm on your website and like mesmerized by the fact that, and we're going to talk about Jane Doe, but the fact that you were Rockettes and professional dancers, because when I look at that, it's like no mistake. To me, it looks like there's so much discipline that goes into that career. And then how do I translate going from that career, that precision, all that hard work, and now the journey leads to entrepreneurship, Jane Doe, which we'll talk about. So connecting the dots backwards, I mean, how does all this fit in?
So JC and I met, as you correctly pointed out, dancing with the Radio City Rockettes. We did it for a combined 17 years. And, you know, other than starting our own business, it's, you know, one of the hardest things we've ever done. Also one of the most fulfilling things that we've ever done. And what we found at our time at Radio City is that there's so much power in a group of women coming together with a unified mission. And once we left Radio City, we decided to start our own business. JC actually wrote a business plan. She worked on it for over a year. I was, interestingly enough, selling real estate in Jersey City. I took a year and went to Chicago to sell real estate. And when I came back, I was like, I do not want to start over again. And really what I was missing in my life was moving my body again and connecting with like-minded humans. So JC said, listen, I've been working on this plan. What do you think? And 6 months after that, we both quit our jobs and opened our doors.
JC, what, like, it's like all these origin stories and so what were you thinking when you put together your business plan? What was the big idea there? And like, what really motivated you?
So at the time I was, oh my God, I hate saying this out loud, but like a celebrity trainer. And, you know, I had this Rolodex of clients and I found it very unfulfilling. And I realized that there was a void in the Jersey City market where I lived at the time. I still live here in a different neighborhood. But there was a void for any boutique style fitness. And at the time, bar was hot. And it was kind of the only thing that, it was the type of workout that was most recognizable. So I wrote a business plan as the sports bar, the idea being the fusion of the athlete and the dancer. Our method was the same. We didn't really even do bar classes, but I needed to leverage the word bar because, you know, we were flipping couches to open our first studio. And so I saw the void in the market. I dropped a pin where I thought the perfect location would be. Serendipitously, that location became our first location. And here we are today. There's a lot in between where we are today.
Right. And so three studios right now, right? Jersey City, Hoboken, Charleston. And but the brand has such broad appeal. And what is Jane Doe?
So like JC said, we did open as a sports bar and we quickly knew that having bar associated with us, that it was potentially a fad. And it was important to us as we continued to hear stories about our, you know, our community, that we weren't just hearing from the women that were in classes, but from also the people that were surrounding them, for us to have a name that everyone could get behind. So we came up with the name Jane Doe. We like to say Jane is every woman. She is in all of us. And Doe is her call to action. She's taking the strength she finds inside the studio and doing amazing things outside the studio, because ultimately, like, that's where it really counts. And it's not just about physical fitness, right? It's about emotional confidence, financial confidence, sexual confidence. So we're hearing stories about women asking for raises because of the strength that they found, crossing finish lines and blowing, you know, the dust off the lingerie that they potentially haven't put on in a long time. And for us, that has been really the most rewarding thing, is the stories that we hear about what the transformation in our clients has been.
And I agree. I think, just to piggyback on that, we truly feel that a purposeless brand is a soulless company. And our purpose is to create the largest community of the most confident women. And we're really able to do that now with this franchise opportunity, because we're not just providing jobs for women anymore. We're providing careers. And going back to your conversation about the Rockettes, what is so incredible about where we are right now is, you know, career transitions are hard for everybody, but much like professional athletes, professional dancers have a very difficult career transition coming out of the Rockettes, coming out of Broadway shows, coming out of, you know, sports dance teams and whatnot. So we are able to fulfill this mission in such a deeper, more impactful way with franchising.
So, like, two critical things, right, that I love. I mean, paraphrasing, right? Purposeless brands, a brand is a soulless company. I love that. And I don't want to be superficial, right? Because I look at, because I'm a big fan of brands. And so I look at Jane Doe, and it is powerful as a brand itself. But when you really dive into branding, when you dive into marketing, you realize really good marketing, really great brands, it's not marketing. It's driven by passion. It's driven by purpose. It's connecting something. So, like, I mean, there's so much, I mean, maybe, I don't know how to phrase it, but there's competition in the industry, right? But how much of it is just checking the box and just doing certain things, but it's not connected, right? If it's not connected to a purpose, a mission, and it's front facing. I mean, Jane Doe, you could see the mission all day, every day there. So, and I do, not only soulless, it's like rudderless. If they don't have that mission and purpose, it's like a business just relies on tactics or marketing gimmicks, or, and they don't build a movement. So, but it's such a fine line, right? So I could see it. You could see it outside looking in. Forgetting your business, just as entrepreneurs, like, how do you think other entrepreneurs, how do you cross that line from just a business to a real mission, a powerful brand that's going to uplift others?
I think it's a matter of consistently delivering on your promise, right? It's taking action. It's like what you do with it. So we don't just do workouts. We cultivate community. We encourage women to use their strength that they build inside the studio to take it outside the studio where it actually matters and do something incredible with it.
It's also about, you know, continuing to go through exercises. You know, you can Google pretty much anywhere, you know, your mission, your vision. And it's very difficult to get to, like, the simplest version of what it is you do. And JC and I have spent countless hours continuing to refine and say, but really at the heart of it, because to get to that secret sauce, it does take a lot of work. At the end product now, it looks like, oh, these girls know exactly what it is. They can say in one sentence, it's really refined, it's super simple. It has taken us years to really define what it is, the object, like what we're trying to accomplish at the end of this.
And I'm not referring to any of our clients, but I've had experiences where I've sat in meetings and executives of very large companies, large franchise systems, are articulating and discussing their strategy. And especially when they have multiple brands, I almost feel like they're playing executive, where we're going to check the box. Here's our mission. Here's our slogan. Here's our core values. And I'm like, it feels like a painful death, and it's not real. I mean, it's just not real. What also comes into play, I mean, and then you also said it, like, you're living an experience that you'd be asking your franchisees to go on the journey also, because, I mean, I love the comparison. I mean, you're going from professional careers to transitioning to studio owners, and you built this brand. So what do great fit franchisees look like, team members joining your team?
That's a great question. And, you know, we're still refining who the perfect avatar is, but ultimately, and, you know, this is something Danny and I talk about a lot, but the future of fitness is unquestionably community driven. And as more women like ourselves continue to break barriers in the industry, the focus on uniting women is going to continue to intensify. And so it isn't just about getting people active, but building a supportive network where women can connect and relate and belong. And because we believe this is the heart and soul in the future of franchising, our avatars are the movers and shakers in their community, right? They're the ones at the forefront of this that are having major impact on their community. So it's not about being a dancer, or, you know, you don't even have to be a fitness professional. You just have to be passionate about empowering others to be the most competent versions of themselves.
Since you guys ladies have been on this journey, like, what was like the most challenging moments, and what are the ones that stick with you the most as like your proudest or the most fulfilling?
I think.
Yeah, let's go with the hard ones. No.
Well, I think anybody in the fitness or restaurant industry is going to say the same thing about the pandemic, really, you know, being one of the greatest challenges for us. It proved the greatest resilience. To date, our business is still self-funded, and we're really proud of that for many reasons, but I can't imagine sleeping at night knowing that, you know, someone else was also, you know, suffering in addition to the way that we were at that time. And I do think that the story there is that, you know, we are a brand built on perseverance and resilience, and it's taught us to really refine our systems in such a way that, like, we'll never be in that place again. And it's because we've created the new recipe for success.
Being a new franchisor, we just became a franchise, as you know, officially at the end of December. So we're about 2 months into this. And the most eye-opening thing to me is finding those first franchisees that you feel comfortable awarding this thing that we have built, grown, nurtured. And now that we have a system that we so believe in, getting the correct operators, franchisees in place is something that, you know, I think for both of us has been challenging, because you want to make sure that you get the right people in the right seat out of the gate.
And you want them to be successful. And that's where the pressure, that's where I think the difficulty really stems from.
Well, I mean, it's definitely, and so on our YouTube channel, there'll be plenty of fellow franchisors and new franchisors, and it's a journey. And I think people don't realize, well, first off, your franchise partners are going to be business people, and they're building something bigger. And then you ladies are also. So how, I mean, for those new franchisors out there, or anyone thinking about it, any general advice or anything you could share about the experience as you're going through the, well, how about this? Like, when did you wake up and say, let's franchise this and explore franchising?
You know, I think in fulfilling our mission and, you know, going back to everything we've talked about, every decision we make, we think what is going to have the greatest impact in cultivating the largest community of the most confident women, what makes us feel the most confident, and that is owning our own business. And so the decision to franchise really stemmed from being able to fulfill that goal.
We also brought on consultants, which I think was really crucial in the success of getting us to where we are today. You don't know what you don't know until you get through the process. You know, bringing on your team has definitely helped, you know, protecting us legally as a franchise. So there is a financial commitment to becoming a franchise. And I think it is important to make sure that you have the budget and the bandwidth, because now you're essentially running and operating two businesses. You have to have your franchise model, and you still have to keep your corporate studios up and operational and continue to make sure that your clients are coming at the unit level. But also now, how do we go and find these franchisees? And what's interesting is when I used to sell real estate, people would spend more time researching and interviewing people that cut their hair rather than realtors. And arguably, this is one of the largest investments people are going to make. And in the franchise world, I'm also finding the same thing. Don't just look at the product. You may love what the product is, and that is important, but also look at the people who are going to be supporting you, because you are going to be in a relationship with them for a very long time. And going through the validation series isn't just a matter of collecting information about like, yeah, where's the manual? Who's doing the training, the marketing, the operations, the territory? Those are all check the boxes, right? Because that literally is stuff that can be checked off. What cannot be checked off are the personalities and the people. So you are interviewing the people. And I know it is a two-way thing, but the franchisees should also be looking at the team that they are working with, because that also is going to make or break the difference in the success of a franchise overall and at the unit level.
I agree. Because I think in an industry that is sometimes prone to, I shouldn't say this out loud, but hype and shortcuts, I think it's important to, you know, figure out if there is meaningful and sustainable success for all at the root of what the franchisor is providing.
I mean, a couple of things there. I mean, Jane Doe is a community, right? So I do love your focus on, there's a very organic reason why we're franchising. It's an extension of the community. And the fact that your mission goes beyond fitness, I mean, it's a natural fit for entrepreneurs, professionals, you know, all women. You know, it is interesting, Danny, when you're talking about, because I see it all the time. And, you know, I have friends that'll text me all the time, hey, I'm looking at this franchise, what do you think? Or I'm looking at that. And we don't represent franchisees, but I'll give my advice. And it's a big system. And, you know, people think there's safety in a bigger system, but there are opportunities out there. And I think it's critical for sure. You need to connect with the people. You need to believe in the team and what they're doing. But you also have to have the brand and the unit economics right in the business, which you've all done. I mean, for a franchise buyer, what I love, and you know, is that you go from professional dancers to professionals to now studio entrepreneurs and owners and franchisors. So that's a movement, right? And I don't think you can fake it. If you had to project forward 5 years from now, what would, in your ideal situation as a brand, as a studio, as a franchise, what does success look like for you guys?
I know for me, it looks like continuing to grow and to franchise, but really what that growth does is it expands our community. So now we are able to host even bigger events, right? So in 5 years from now, I'm hoping that we can have, you know, a huge Jane Doe event on a yacht where we're all partying, but really celebrating the four pillars that we stand behind. And I spoke a little bit about them, right? What creates the most confident person, confident woman? It's physical, emotional, sexual, and financial. Those are the four pillars. All of them have to be full. And we need to work every single day at educating ourselves and continuing to work so that we can be the most confident, empowered version of ourselves. And when we can continue to expand our footprint, again, just like Radio City, that's when the power happens, is when we all are doing this together.
Mm-hmm. And I think we're not about, our model isn't about quick wins or overnight empires. It's about building sustainable businesses, empowered communities, and impactful legacies through realistic financial projections. So, you know, to Danny's
point.
Sorry,
I don't want to cut you off. It's funny, everyone laughed at that. And it's, but it is true, because we've all seen it. And if something sometimes looks like it's too good to be true, it probably is. Mm-hmm. So to my point earlier, make sure you're asking. Sorry, Jace, keep going.
No.
Accurate financial projections.
Yeah.
Well, you know, but to that point, so I've seen, I mean, we have amazing clients, and so many of them at certain points in time, they get very large, they sell, and you watch the journey along the way. You're betting, and Brent, I think, says this often at Raintree, and you're betting on the jockey, not the horse. And when I look at our clients that have scaled from one location to hundreds, I'm looking at competent, good people, but along the way too, as their franchise system has grown, they've also grown, and they've grown their teams. I laugh, right? Because private equity comes in, they're so smart, everyone's so smart, and they buy them. But I'm like, no, we fought in the trenches. They created this. You know, we played a small role. You're all geniuses, but now you're going to buy it after market, right? You're going to buy it at a premium. And this was created from the ground up. And so not only do I see the founders grow, but you also see the franchisees, right? Because it's an entrepreneur, like, it's such a journey that, and it's such an asset to start and build and grow a business, because you learn so much, right? You go through so many frustrations. It forces you to learn. And so it's critical for franchise buyers. You need to align with the founders, the team, and that journey, because that's really who you're betting on. I mean, you know, you need to have a solid business, solid purpose, all these checkbox things. Unfortunately, so many businesses don't have it, but then you're betting on founders, that connection and that community. And then you guys as franchisors, you need franchisees that are like-minded and are going to share that. When I look at Jane Doe, it is clear there's a movement. It's impactful. It goes beyond fitness. And that mission of empowering, it just fits hand in hand with franchising. So it's interesting. But you know what? Like, it's not easy. There's a ton of noise in the marketplace. You ladies are going to have to go fight and get some good territory, get some good franchisees, empower them. And then, I look at everything in terms of battles. It's really bad. You know, it's like, I just say stupid things sometimes at the office. I'm like, but it is like, you always need to be in a battle, or at least an imaginary one. So if we're in a battle, what's the big thing, whether it's franchising or business, what are we slaying? Where are we going to hunt?
Where are we going to kill?
I think we're continuing to optimize and maximize people's time, right? So you have, if people have an hour to work out where they choose to go, whether it fills their cup or not. Beyond that, again, in the 5-year question, I hope that we can continue to expand our footprint through female empowerment products. I think that, you know, early on, it has always been a dream of mine to continue to go into sex tech. And also, you know, fintech. I think that those are other opportunities that we would love to explore given our pillars, and by expanding the footprint in our community, but also staying focused, right? And that's the balance that you're constantly struggling with as an entrepreneur is, you know, we have something that works, stay in our lane. And that's why we're going to continue to focus on this. But if we can continue to empower women, in the bedroom and in the pockets, I think let's go for it.
I also think that by pairing our, you know, fitness programming with the community that women need, we have the potential to significantly disrupt the fitness industry.
I mean, well, I look, you're talking about an energized community. driven, which I think that's smart, right? I mean, the other avenues and the ability to impact them, it all goes hand in hand. I mean, I won't go into it on this. I'd love to hear more when what you think about when you're discussing fintech and all of these things, because they do go hand in hand. I mean, all of this community-wise. When you think about that perfect fit member, where maybe she's wants to come in and is self-conscious and doesn't, like, you know, how do you speak to those people and break the door open where they go from reluctant and scared to amazing members? By the way, I'm probably asking this for myself, but
we love our Jane dudes. We definitely don't discriminate against our Jane dudes, although we are primarily female focused. The beauty of Jane Doe is that regardless of age or stage or fitness level, our class variety offers something for everyone. And we recommend all of our clients start with our sculpt class. It's low impact, which does not mean low intensity. And we realize that what happens is once people, the hardest part is always getting there. It doesn't matter what, you know, fitness experience you are, you know, first attending, but the scariest part and the hardest part is just getting started. So once people arrive in this space, you know, they feel supported. It's the most inclusive environment you'll feel. I hope you can experience it sometime firsthand. So yeah, I think that because we're former Rockettes, people associate us with dance, but what we do isn't dance. You don't have to be a dancer to move your body. What we do is musically charged, energy-driven workouts, so they feel organic because they're done to the beat of the music, and we all have that organic desire to move our bodies deep inside of us, and that's what we deliver on.
JC and I, I'll piggyback off that. As professional dancers and fitness professionals have taken classes that we ourselves have walked into and felt intimidated. And for us, that is unacceptable. And I think it trickles from the top. It's ingrained in our training. It is part of our culture and who we are to make everyone feel welcome. Because to everyone's point, just showing up, carving out the hour, it is important to give people what they need. And when you give them an experience that they have fun and they feel connected, they'll keep coming back, right? And oftentimes it is a good workout, but it's secondary to the feeling that they felt. So consistency is key in any workout, and they will come back when they feel welcome, supported, nurtured, and they have fun, because it also has to be fun. I mean, when I work out, I want to have fun. Running on the treadmill is not my thing.
In terms of franchisees, by the way, I'm holding back because I'm like, I'm not going to ask questions about Rockettes because I'm like, you're like, that's so annoying.
And no, you can ask us anything.
No, so what's the most common questions you get about that?
What's the oldest Rockette?
Yeah.
I would never have asked that. All right.
How much do you get paid?
Okay. All right. Yeah, those are not, I don't think I would have asked those, but okay.
We have great bridging techniques. Ask us anything. we'll skirt any questions we don't want to answer.
Those are the two most common questions we get asked.
What were some of your questions? What's that?
What were some of your questions?
I don't know. I'm just like, well, this is not pathetic, but I am just enamored with the discipline. And then I am enamored with how that discipline translates over to entrepreneurship. And then as a parent, right? And my sons are older. I'm also, you know, when I'm reflecting on their childhood, like the first moment where they picked up a baseball bat or the first moment when you're in dance class, like how is that all connecting at like the human level? Right? Because you think back on those memories and then you go from, you know, I don't know, like a girl in a dance class to Radio City Music Hall to, you know, business owners building something like that. To me, like all of this other stuff, I don't know, it's all nonsense, but like, those are like amazing connections in my brain. And you know, when we're speaking, like just the journey from, which I don't know, but I'm assuming dance class to professional dancer, to, like that's an amazing journey.
So yeah, it is. I mean,
I have to say what my dad said.
No, that's what I want to hear as a dad. Let's go.
Go ahead.
Come on.
She was going to say it for me. I know it. When I booked the job as a Radio City Rockette, I called my father, and he was, you know, we're from a small town in upstate New York, and he pulled the car over and he's like, JC, there's the Jets, the Mets, the Yankees, the Nets, the Nets, and the Radio City Rockettes. And now he tells me and Danny that we have the biggest, pardon me, but the biggest balls he's ever seen, because he just thinks what we've done and what we continue to do is so courageous. And I think that beyond the discipline that comes with dance, Danny and I, our upbringings were very similar and rooted in so much love and support. You know, my parents, you know, both, and Danny's parents both were hardworking. Both parents worked. They taught us both that there's no substitution for hard work, and that's the lesson that's been instilled with us and has allowed us to get to this place where we are today.
That's literally my one line to answer everything that you said, is there's no substitution for hard work. And what I will say is, anyone that gets to where they are and makes it look easy has had a world ahead of them or behind them, however you want to look at it. And people used to say, when I would tell them I was a Radio City Rockette, you're so lucky. And luck had nothing to do with it. Luck had nothing to do with JC and myself starting this business. Luck had nothing to do with us franchising. It's all about hard work. And as franchisees or anyone that's looking to own their own business, if you think it's going to be easy, I'm still here to tell you, even though there are systems in place, it's still built on hard work. So from the age of three, you don't skip any, you know, any classes. You're dedicated, you show up, you're a professional, you work hard, and year after year after year, you build on that. And then you audition, and then they tell you no, and they'll tell you all the reasons. Your hair is too dark, you're too short, you're too tall, your eyes are too blue. And for all the million reasons why people are going to tell you why it's not going to work, persevere, push through, find the answers, get to the solution. So continuing to do that and showing up every single day, when it's hard, when you don't want to, when you'd rather go out with your boyfriend in high school, when there's a, you know, a school dance that you want to be at, you have to make the sacrifices, but ultimately it will get you to your end goal. And it's about prioritizing it, right? So even now with where JC and I are, you girls are so lucky. You were able to open three studios. Nothing has been easy. Roll up your sleeves and get to work.
Well, and plus hard work doesn't always get rewarded, right? And life's not fair, so deal with it. And so this is like the best part of any conversation I've ever had. Look, I'm gonna go back to a moment. Like, how do you feel, JC, when you think about that moment with your dad?
It brings tears to my eyes every time I think about it.
Yeah.
You know, and he continues to express his pride for myself and Danny, and you know, there's nothing I want more than for him to see Danny and I be able to share this experience with other female entrepreneurs, female or male, right? To watch the brand continue to grow will only emphasize that feeling.
Well, and that feeling too. I mean, Danny just a few seconds ago, like, so locked that down and nailed it. Like, that's what life's about. And like, that's the battle cry for Jane Doe and winning. And like, it's an engaged battle. And I love it, Danny. Like, there are, it's not going to be easy. And F anyone who says it should be easy. And let's just go battle through this. I don't want to be morbid here. We're going to die one day and none of this matters, except that these moments, right? Like your dad calling, or that dedication that you guys put in, and the community you're building, and the energy behind it, because it's going to make lives better. And so, man, it's every time I think I'm doing these podcasts for others and then having these conversations, especially a few minutes ago, like you guys maybe want to run through a couple of walls now and just figure out something to do. But like, this is, yeah, no, this is good. Is your dad a Met fan or no?
Yankees. He was, he used to, what was it? He was the GM for the Yankees farm team in upstate New York.
Oh, really?
Mattingly came through there and, you know, a bunch of the old legends.
Yeah, no, that, I mean, look, I can't talk about Little League baseball without getting tears in my eyes. And my younger son, he's a senior in college, and I'm thankful because, like, spring break's coming up, and my older son lives in Miami. So we're going to go to Miami for spring break and just go to some, you know, spring training games and yeah, other stuff. But, like, those connections are what matters. And I think, like, what I love is the roots of Jane Doe and, like, the roots of it go all the way back to your parents in those early moments. In fact, you know, I'm going to say it starts with a man. No, I'm joking.
No, you know what I was going to say?
I made the connection.
Is that I have a daughter. I have a 2-year-old daughter. And to your point, it's so empowering to be able to, we are all going to die. But the legacy that Danny and I can leave behind, because, you know, we co-parent basically. I have a husband and a wife. Is this legacy of Jane Doe. And there's nothing that makes me more proud than to be able to say that I've, you know, empowered women and encouraged my girl Lenny to do the same.
The one thing I'll say, and, you know, I just came back from a franchise conference, and the most frustrating thing to me is when people say, how's it going? And everyone will express how great everything's going or how busy. It's just like, I'm like, please.
It's called Instagram.
Yeah, right. I'm like, could we stop with this silly conversations, you know? And actually, I had my older, when I go to these events, I try to make it good for me. So my older son at the time, I said, hey, come up, meet with us, and we'll just hang out and stuff. But I will say this to you ladies, you know, what makes a great franchise system, and you could look at founders like Laura Coe at Snapology or Ryan and Kim Parsons are those founders and the persistence as you navigate and learn this new industry, you safeguard your franchisees, you keep building your communities. And so I'm like so proud to be working together. But my advice is, yeah, just apply that Jane Doe attitude to the franchise world. And, you know, let's change that also, because these BS conversations have to go too.
BS conversations have to go, because, you know, we thrive on authenticity. And if anybody wants to reach out to us, any potential franchisee or franchisor, you know, reach out, because we'll tell you for real what this entire process has been like, the trials, the tribulations, and the celebrations.
Yeah, ladies, thank you so much. I feel like I went through a therapy session, so I appreciate it. But you know what? Jane Doe is awesome, and I love the mission, and I appreciate the time.
Thank you so much for having us. This has been really fun.